So one Sunday morning, a few weeks ago, I was bustling off to get to work, to get here to preside at the 7:45 service. And as I was rolling down a street in my neighborhood, I reached to adjust my seatbelt, and apparently I disturbed a moth who was sleeping, a very big moth, big brown and tan moth. It flew up and started fluttering in front of my face and fluttering towards my face. I don't know who was more startled, me or the moth. And then it just flew into the corner of my, where the windshield meets the door, folded its wings, and curled up to snuggle into the recess of that corner. And luckily, it was, you know, early in the morning, there was no traffic, and I was just going 20 miles an hour, so I remained in control of my car. And it was also very beautiful. And as I watched this moth burrow in, what occurred to me was that it was seeking homeostasis. And I felt some comfort and joy in that. And now I know the joy of homeostasis might not be the obvious thing or the most common thing people would think upon having that happen, but that's where I went in that moment. And in fact, it inspired some reflection about this morning's gospel story that I'd like to share. I will tell you first that I remember how much I loved learning about homeostasis in fifth or sixth grade, whenever you learn about that. I just loved the sound of the word and the concept of homeostasis, even though I had never thought about it before. And even though I hadn't ever thought about it before, I also felt that it was oddly familiar in some way. So the concept of homeostasis is just this. It's actually an involuntary physiological process in all living organisms, plants and humans, which establishes a certain internal stability even when there are external changes happening. It regulates things like temperature, the balance of fluids, of potassium or oxygen levels, whatever, all kinds of things. The wisdom of the body knows how to do this, to create the best conditions, the narrow range of conditions that are best for ourselves to function optimally so that we can survive, so stay alive in greatest health. Isn't that great? You might be asking yourself, where am I heading with this? Well, thank you for asking. Where I'm heading is that it relates to the gospel. First of all, it harkens back to this beautiful phrase I heard in a sermon over 20 years ago given by a Jesuit priest, Father Ken Overberg, who was the chair of the theology department at Xavier University in Cincinnati. And the phrase that he said was, "The self-expression of God in all of creation." And that phrase hit me like a lightning bolt, and it has influenced my perceptions ever since. Because in one sense, really, we have no idea who or what God is, what the source of creation is. I mean, or maybe we have some idea, but it's so small compared to the immensity and mystery of what God is that it's like a speck, it's nothing. But what if all of creation is a gift attempting to tell us something about who God is, God's self-expression to tell us who God is? What a stunning way to perceive and receive all that we see, all the billions of manifestations of life that we see from the vast space of a cosmos that we can't imagine being infinite, because how is that possible? And we can't imagine a nothing that comes where it ends, or all the beautiful marvels of nature on earth, or every precious baby that is born, many of whom are here right now today, you, precious babies in God's sight, all of these as expressions of who God is. And so homeostasis, perhaps, tells us that God is a magnificent love that is joyously inviting us to participate in a process of restoring ourselves to the optimal balance needed to know the truth, for resting in truth, for knowing not only the fullness of life in a body, but the timelessness of life in the spirit. Perhaps the outer process of homeostasis is a process that is active in our soul and heart as well, on a more subtle and powerful level. And maybe that's why it feels so oddly familiar. Perhaps this outer homeostasis, which we can see and measure, is a gift to help us understand a deeper homeostasis. Because the deeper process is not just involuntary through the wisdom of the body, but it's voluntary from the gift of our freedom to choose to be engaged in it, to choose to consciously engage using the incredible gifts of the wisdom of our hearts and our minds and our souls and our faith that we have been given, offering us this opportunity to learn to notice when we are out of balance and to adjust ourselves, to return again and again and again to rest in God, to transform our consciousness as we do that, so that we live from there, we live from that place where we go to rest, and we know who we are as created by God more fully. Physiological homeostasis itself is not static, but it's living. It's a dynamic process of establishing equilibrium. And so the very engagement with the homeostasis of our entire being also brings us into this living and dynamic faith to engage with it, to come to know it. And we need this to discern how to live our lives as disciples and as faith communities in this challenging world. We can't just go ask Jesus of Nazareth in his body, but we still need this living God. And when we think about today's gospel, about the charge that Jesus gave to the 70 to go out and spread the good news to the world, we need to know how to connect that with our lives. Because we know that Jesus was speaking to a very different world and context than what we live in now, with different needs and aims. And as well, the gospel writers, both Luke and Matthew, who told this same story in their own slightly different ways, both filtered the universal core of meaning that Jesus of Nazareth was teaching. They filtered it to be meaningful to their own context. So our question is about what parts of these specific instructions that Jesus gave are specific to that world, and what parts are timeless? How do we spread the good news today in all the changes that are external, but stay true to the core truths of love and compassion for all, respect for the dignity of all, justice, mercy, forgiveness? The wisdom we need to figure that out comes from this place of our ongoing, dynamic, engaging, and homecoming to the optimal balance of presence with God. We live in a world of 8 billion people now, as opposed to the world of Jesus, where there were about 200, 250 million, less than the population of just the United States. We live in a religiously pluralistic context, a world which is in great need of interreligious dialogue, where we know that our spreading of the good news cannot take place in a form of exploitation and superiority to other faith traditions, but in the form of deep respect and love for the dignity of all. We live in a world where the religious leaders of all faiths are called to model the possibility of harmony and unity even when we think differently. A collaboration that's beyond the fearful insistence that we all need to be alike in order to get along. We help transform the world by transforming ourselves in this discernment of grounding ourselves actively in the homeostasis of God's radical love. A radical love that speaks truth in action against systems that promote hate and oppression of others, or deliberately cause fear and suffering. We live in a world where we are called to evolve as a species. Evolution has been happening on this earth ever since life appeared. And we are called as humans to evolve spiritually or face extinction. We are called to be less concerned with our own goals and more concerned with love and justice and healing and peace and connection and respect. What hasn't changed since Jesus gave the charge to the 70 is that the task is difficult. And what hasn't changed is that the love of God and the peace of Christ and the powerful grace of the Holy Spirit is with us in this work. And we need that. We need to tap into that to know how to follow, how to live our lives, how to be a faith community, how to bring justice to the world, how to remain in the stable core of truth with radical changes happening all around us. By this staying in balance with God, by this homeostasis of the soul. And in that way, the deeper effects of what we do exceeds what is apparent. Our concern is to stay in balance with God, not in our achievements. As Christ told the 70, do not rejoice in the power of what you do and the power that you have, but that your names are written in heaven. That is, what matters more than what we do and achieve is the change that occurs by our engagement in actively returning again and again to rest in God. That brings our names to be in heaven, our identity to be in heaven. That radically transforms us and contributes to the transformation of humanity one by one on this earth. It's all we can do. So I felt really blessed by this moth. And when I got to work, I did free him or her here at St. Paul's, flying around outside somewhere maybe. And so I'd like to just offer a prayer that we all become like moths who are startled awake and flutter around confused, but then learn to seek rest and balance and to be able to come to full aliveness and pure joy in the ultimate wisdom of the living God and wake up in a holy, beautiful space that we never could have imagined arriving at on our own.